you are listening to the Kinetic Man Podcast. I'm Stuart.
And I'm David. And we want to walk with you on the journey to living a life defined by uncommon action that is full of purpose, adventure, and meaningful relationships. Our goal is to refine our why while helping you find yours and together achieve our best and highest purpose. In the end, we'll drive each other to leave the potential life behind and become kinetic men.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Stu. And hey, we talk a lot about real estate investing on this podcast episode. And for most of you know, probably that David and I are also real estate investors. We really love real estate and think this is probably the best way to create financial freedom for your family. Just ask my son. Hey, Wells, do you like investing in real estate?
Yes.
What do you do to invest in real estate?
Give my money to the bank of dad.
Give your money to the bank of dad. And the bank of dad gives really good interest rates to him. But hey, if you're interested in investing with us, with David and I promise you, we're not going to give you the same interest rate that Wells gets, but we'd be happy to discuss some opportunities that we have coming up. Just send us an email, stuart@storehouse310.com. Again, stuart@storehouse310.com. Go enjoy the show.
Dude, I'm super duper excited about today. We've got Ben and Eric Nelson. And hey, you know, when you surround yourself with incredible people who are creative, amazing business people, you inevitably are going to rebrand. And so today we want to start the ANDP podcast. It's for the aspiring non-douche podcast. And really, it is. I'm just so grateful to you guys for bringing this incredible opportunity and an idea to the forefront. And I thank you for that.
We do what we can.
You're welcome.
I was hoping you would just keep the acronym and not tell people what.
Not even meant. Actually tell people.
This yeah, like guess. So people could just like guess what that's going to be.
The yeah, ANDP but that podcast. Almost the opposite. We'd be achieving, like, leaving people hanging for so long on something so critical and important would in and of itself by definition be antithetical to what we're trying to achieve with the ANDP episode.
Yeah.
That's a good start. Yeah,
we're off to a blast here, but yeah.
Dave, forgive David. He's a little deprived of sleep. He went to Vegas last weekend, which is like his favorite place to go. So,
gosh,
right on.
Yeah. We
can get into that, but I for all you Vegas lovers out there, I love you. God bless you. I freaking hate that town. Just throwing that out there. But anyways, let's continue.
But isn't your favorite football team from that town?
Yes.
Okay. Dude, I didn't know you're a Raiders fan. Things are gonna have to change now. I may have to just
hop off. Go Raiders.
Yeah.
AFC West is what it is. All right. Well, thank you guys for having us. This is awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Hey, Ben, you were telling us that you had a funny story some dad wins this weekend. What do you think?
Oh, man. Yeah, just long story short, I was able to bring my boys with me. I went to a capital raising conference in Phoenix, Arizona this last weekend, and my parents just happened to be down there for months just hanging out as retirees. So I brought them with me. And, you know, I'd let them hang out with grandparents, and they took a night, and I just got all these videos. There's a pool. The boys, obviously, they love the pool. They'll spend all day in the pool, but it's a condo, so the pool is designed to be, like, pretty also, you know, so there's all these jets and water features coming out of the wall. So the video, it said about an hour and a half of my boys just, like, leaning over the edge, like, making the water features look like they're peeing in the pool. Like, that's how they expended 1 to 2 hours per day just doing that. It's like, if you have boys in your house, like as children, like you can relate. It's all that they do.
That and farts.
Yep.
The farts. Farts is like highest on the list for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, which actually, I just want to say, and let's be honest here. If we were recording this podcast at that very pool, is it just a boys thing, or like would we be doing the exact same thing?
Oh no, I'm not saying I didn't do it. I just got a videos of them doing that. Yeah.
The guys want to make sure we're being honest on this podcast. Yeah,
totally.
That's good. Hey guys, give us a little bit of background about who you are. Ben and Eric Nelson, Wild Oak Capital. We were recently on your podcast, and then, you know, Ben, you're local here to Denver, and Eric, you're also Colorado, but a little bit farther away. We've gotten to spend quite a bit of time with Ben hanging out. But yeah, give us a little bit of background about who you are and what you do.
Hey, before you kick off, for context on this, to start this podcast, Ben Nelson, no kidding, was like, I'm a huge advocate for intentional connecting on LinkedIn specifically. And this whole podcast, their podcast having us on, the relationship we built with Ben specifically in person and hanging out, him being, right down the road, was all based on the fact that we're willing to say hello on LinkedIn, right? And so I want to be a huge advocate to encourage people. Like we always, I always say, hey, reach out and connect with somebody. Your life is less by not doing it. But we practice what we preach. And this whole conversation and getting to know Eric is a result of being willing to connect on LinkedIn and then taking it a step further and turning it into hugs and
Absolutely true.
hugs and snuggles. So, anyways, Ben, tell us about yourself.
Actually, I'll let Eric go first because he's kind of the one that brought all this to fruition for sure. I'll let Eric start and I'll sprinkle in after.
Yeah, well, first of all, again, thanks for having me, guys, and I'm so honored to know you through Ben. And it's interesting, like we have like friends of friends. Marcus and I have partnered on deals you guys, I believe, invested in last minute. But it's just cool how that works. I just want to toss that out as well. Like, you're so right. The connection thing is super real. We talk about it as well. We'll get into that. But my name is Eric. I was an engineer for years, and that was sort of the story I tell, is like, I didn't really enjoy it, right? I was just kind of doing the motions because that's what I was supposed to do, I guess. And eventually I got to this point where I'm like, you know what? I kind of hate this. Like, what else can I do out there that it would bring some more passion? So started investing in real estate, started getting into that, going to meetups, going to conferences, things like that, where people are like, oh yeah, this is a real possibility and this is a real thing. And after a couple of years, I was like, okay, I had a couple single families, things like that. I met a mentor who was doing syndication, which I at the time was like, what is that, right? Lots of people have no idea what that word even means. With his mentorship, I was able to kind of like jump into that place. And I will admit there was a ton of fear, right? Like, I didn't want to use other people's money. I didn't really want to partner with people. There's all these kind of fears that were just not real, basically. So once I dove in, I was like, you know what? This is really cool. And a lot of my personal skill sets fit really well. And then as time grew, it was like, of course you need people to work with. And Ben and I talk multiple times a day. Our wives make fun of us because we're like, a lot, right? So I was like, you know, man, you don't seem to be that happy in your gig either. You'd be amazing at this as well. Let's jump in and go for it. And kind of just been running since then, to be honest. But that's kind of the personal or the professional background. And I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a Christian man as well. I love what you guys do. I was a missionary for a few years, so we can talk about that as well. But like, ultimately, Ben and I came together and pretty excited to build. And we're honestly still in the building stage. Like, I think we're still in the infancy of what this will become. But we share a lot of those same things. Like, we have two boys each, so there's a lot of this like pee and fart talking, all this stuff. So that's kind of my background. But again, very much appreciate getting to know you guys and having us on.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll piggyback that too. So I think mine was a little bit different in the sense. So I come from producing action sports events. I was a little bit of a wayward soul out of college. I graduated and didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do. I was a ski bum for a year and then moved to Spain and was living in New York and just like finally kind of fell into producing events because that's just the way my brain works. Like I love the puzzle. I love putting these things together and just happened to be adjacent to a bunch of folks. And through time, like we were put in a place where we started getting asked to do some pretty fun, pretty difficult things, like some world records or racing, desert trucks on snow in Maine, or, being on the ground when Felix broke a bunch of world records jumping out of the sky. Like we were able to do some really fun stuff. But to Eric's point, having conversations with it was less about that I didn't like it. I didn't have that. Like I always loved what I was doing. I always loved the puzzle. But it became a point where it was pretty obviously it wasn't serving the greater good, right? Like it wasn't serving me to be gone for 30, 40 days at a time. It wasn't serving me to miss entire summers with my family and really hitting hitting the rev limiter and to use race speak, like how much time am I putting in versus how much money I'm bringing back? And how am I spending so much time? Because it's really, really time intensive to produce. It just, there's really no way around it to produce at that high level. So Eric and I had a bunch of conversations and it was very much that. He's like, hey man, I see where you're going and having a similar conversation with me. We do have that luxury of being really honest with each other and being really transparent as brothers. And he just said, hey, I think we should make a go of this. I think we'd be good at it. And it hasn't come without struggle. Like I'm not going to say that like it's all, roses and expectations and who we thought I think we were both going to be going in, and even me, and like how we're transitioning to like, oh, now we found our footing. Now this is who we are going to be moving ahead, to his point. Like, I am so excited for the future, because I feel like we've like stumbled a little bit. We've done some amazing things. We've been super fortunate to have incredible people around us, but like, I feel like we're starting to catch stride and finally get going. And it's been like, I'll give all the credit to Eric for like, hey man, this is a direction we should go. Like, he pointed out, and it's tough for me, truthfully, like being the oldest brother, and to like your younger brother be like, hey man, like let's go this way instead. Like, that was something I had to get over. He's smarter than me. So it works out.
Yeah. And I think just from your intros, we probably don't need to expound too deeply on the fact that Eric is smarter. I mean, I think that'll come through in the recording. You know, we don't have to dig into that. But no, all joking aside, you touched on a lot of things, and there's so many ways I want to take this conversation. And a couple of things you touched on is a big one for me that immediately resonates is the serving Christ through business, right? Like the ability to do that, how you do that. And I absolutely love that. And Ben, I know you have a servant's heart. He didn't touch on it, but a lot of the events now that he helps with and does are 100% to support other people, like the local, like the bourbon and the chicken and the thing, what all the things, right? There's so many of the things that people ask you for help in their events because you're awesome at it and you're amazing and you give. You're a giver of your expertise, and I love that. But one thing I want to touch on is this idea of a kind of two-pronged thing is the willingness and the ability to take a leap to do something else, right? And how realistic that is, that can be for people to take a leap. And also the relational aspect, because not all brothers, just because you're brothers, it is not inherent in that relationship that you're going to be, that you're going to hold each other accountable at a high level, that you're going to be, to have this relationship like Stu and I have, right? You guys have that as brothers. And I would argue that's a little bit more unique because there are other barriers that you even highlighted being older to that you're going to have to overcome to have that kind of relationship in a familial sense. Right. So two prongs there. One, just the ability to take that leap and who can do it. Right. And also the relational leap to find that person to do that with.
Yeah. I think I'll start if you don't mind, Ben. I think like, so my good friend is he's a doctor. He's actually a physical therapist, and he's like one of my closest friends. And he basically is in the situation now where I don't think anyone listening will hear this, so hopefully I don't get him in trouble, but he's looking at starting a new thing, right? Like, and so he came to me, he's like, "Hey man, I just want to pick your brain. What is it like to kind of reinvent yourself professionally?" Cuz he spent obviously a mountain of money and a mountain of time to be where he is, but he's pretty miserable. So I was like, you got to just go for it, man. Like, if your wife's aligned, you're probably going to have less income for a little while, and you're probably going to be like the new guy, which sucks, you know? However, you got to have this long-term vision. Like, do you want to be miserable for the next 20 years? Or do you want to say, you know what? I could probably be like semi-uncomfortable for a couple of years and then have the potential to be much, much happier. And so then it was funny, like we were in a group setting and he sort of joked, like, he's like, "Oh, Eric just had this, like, everything is going to be fine mentality." And I was kind of like, you know what? That's true. That, you know, like, let's say worst case scenario, it doesn't work out, dude. You can go back to be a PT anytime you want. So like, if you have this desire, if you're listening and you're like, "Man, I'm pretty miserable where I'm at, but I'm ready to take a leap to something else," I will encourage you, like, it's probably worth the effort to at least give it your best shot, you know? And then for the brother thing, I think you're right, Dave. I think like Ben and I are probably pretty rare. Like, I think there's a lot of families out there where that rub would be really challenging. We were basically early on, we're like, dude, there's going to be some hard conversations and like, I'll always love you, but there's going to be some challenges, right? And like, when I say, look, we're going to have this hard conversation, we'll set it aside, get through it, and then we'll be back to making fart jokes, right? Like, I think that's the separation that I would encourage people to do, even if it's your best friend. Like, if you're going to business with a friend or family, people always tell you don't. I'm not sure I buy into that, but I think you need to have boundaries. Like, here's like business, here's the fun, and they can't necessarily like hurt each other, right? Like, we're still going to be brothers at the end of the day, no matter what. If one of us is sucking at business, we're going to call it out. that can't make you pissed off at Christmas dinner. You know, like put that aside and we'll have some eggnogs and move forward. So that's kind of my thoughts on those things.
But before you go, Ben, I love that. And you said something, Eric, and I think it's critical. I think the advice to not go into business with friends and family is misguided. I think the true issue there is that most people don't have friends and family that they're willing to be honest, honest at a high level with. And if you can choose, Stu and I have hard, dude, we had a hard conversation last week. I mean, we have really hard conversations all the time. And I'll tell you what resolved our conversation very specifically. Again, a very hard conversation. Like we were like pit, like I got off a call and I was like, hey guys, you know what? I'm gonna go because I am angry. I'm angry, so I'm gonna go for a walk. We'll re-engage. The next night, Sue and I had dinner. I said, look, dude, in the context of all this stuff, here's my love for you. And that has to trump. And so how does that, filter into the business? How does that filter into the business? Not how does the business filter into the relationship? How does the
Yeah.
relationship filter in? And so that was a critical piece. I think you nailed that. You can have it with, you just have to desire to go deep. And then second, your buddy, whoever he is, you kind of minimize our audience, dude. We have millions and millions of listeners every day. And so I just want to
His
make sure
boss is
that
listening right now.
he's
His
for
boss is
sure on.
probably,
Yeah.
well,
So to his boss, like it's all good. I would definitely agree with that, but I think a part of it too, Dave, is that there's fear, right? There's fear of hearing something that you don't want to see or hear. And I think there's a lot of families that are, and I mean, some, we're in some ways we're the same, right? Like when you go home with your and you're with your family, you're like perpetually in that, like I'm 17, he's 15, like mom makes 1,000 calories per like sitting. So it's easier for us, I think, because we're supportive in the future of each other, right? And I think that's not really hard. Like if you get into a familial setting where you're still like, I'm still Eric's big brother, and like we act like we're in high school, beyond the fart jokes, like that's where I think a lot of it comes down to. It's like I support who he wants to be. Like, dude, you want to move to Spain with your family? Like, how can I help you move? Like, what are those things that are going to make you a better person? And we have those conversations, right? Like we talk a lot about what do we want from life? Like, where are we going? Is this serving us? Like, is this doing a good job? So I think that was a big thing. And I'm honestly, truly, and all jokes aside, like I take a bunch of that from Eric, from like the way his brain works. Like we have similar things, but I think we just have a different path we got there. Cause I think mine's different, right? The conversation that I have with people often is, what if you don't hate your job? Right? Like, what if you really like what you're doing, but it's not in service totally of where you want to be? Like that. So like, my background is a really prime example of that. There are so many people that may not have kids or like never will or single. Like if I could have found somebody, and what I'm trying to do is be the person I wish I could be for myself when I was on the road, right? So syndication and the things that we're trying to do, like building passive income streams for people, you don't have to hate what you're doing. Like if we can help you continue doing something that you love or you build or you're regrowing, like the world needs doctors and lawyers and producers and like all of these people that are working 80 hours a week. How can we also support you in that if it is truly your calling and you want to be there, right? So it's interesting that we get to have these like dual path conversations of like, if you want to get out, cool, there's a way to do that. If you don't, you love it, how can we support you in that? Because the thing that hit me the most was COVID, right? Like COVID hit all of us for different reasons and changed the way that we operate for a lot of ways. But as soon as COVID got real serious, like I got a phone call. Like I'm a producer and I would work for a couple of different folks. Like I would, run a bunch of big projects. But ultimately, when the phone rings and it says the world's stopping and you can no longer gather people together, which is what I built my entire business around for 15 years, like I have no more income coming in like that, right? Like that shut my life down. And it was the scariest moment I had ever with my wife, because like suddenly we're going through bills and cutting, and like, what are we going to do? But if I'd had ultimate, like other passive income streams around that, that would have lessened the load, right? So that's what we're trying to do, is help people. Like, how can you diversify? How can you build some of that in service of how you want to live your life? And like, is it a wholesale change? Or is it just like, how can we give you extra gunpowder? How can we give you extra rocket fuel?
Hey, there's this misnomer I think out there in the world of real estate investing. I think there's a lot of false communication around it of, You know, as soon as you become a real estate investor, you know, freedom, right? Financial freedom, passive income, wealth creation. You know, I'm going to quit my W-2 job and go do real estate so I can have time freedom, passive freedom, wealth freedom, all this stuff. And, you know, a lot of people quit their W-2 40-hour job to then go turn around and make 80-hour jobs, right? In entrepreneur world, in real estate investing world. And then, you know, both of you guys, different reasons why you chose to change careers. You know, one, Eric, you just didn't like your job. You wanted to do something different. Ben, you liked your job, but you needed to serve your family, right? And be around a little bit more. So how did you guys, and how do we, for all the listeners that are out there in the entrepreneur world, manage not like doing 80 hours a week to say no to a 40-hour week job, and just get into this cycle of like more, you know, grind, hustle, more doors is better, right? How do we get out of that mentality that often comes into play in the real estate world specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I love this question. So I'm gonna just gonna call out that I'm in a mastermind, and I mean, if you guys are fine with it, I'll name the name, but like it's a basically a money-based mastermind. And everyone in there is like really focused on net worth and how do we grow. And I really enjoy it because like the people are amazing, right? But I went on this retreat with 12 dudes in Costa Rica. We went around the circle and it was like, what are your goals in the next 10 years? And a lot of those guys were like, I want to be worth 30 million. That was a pretty common goal. Like, I think I heard it like 6 or 7 times. And it got to me, and I was like, I don't have that goal. I don't have that. I need to stack a bunch of capital goal. And I really think, like, I challenge a few people to be like, what is the actual reason for that? Like, is it a scarcity? Does it come from trauma in your childhood? And there's a lot of research around that. But I think probably partially to answer the question is like, what is the reason, right? Like, what are you going to do with that money? I think digging really, really deep into that question of like, let's say you want to get rich, dude, be good for you. Like, I'm absolutely not judging you. However, if you're just stacking cash for no good reason other than like fear, really evaluate that, right? Like, for me, the money that we make, I feel like I have a few whys that really power that forward. And I don't have this like endless, bottomless desire. For me, it is kind of that, Stu. So like really guarding that, you know what? I could probably work another 4 hours today, but it's 4 p.m. I'm gonna head home, right? Like that I think is a really, really challenging thing as a new entrepreneur too. 'Cause you're like, I gotta grind, I gotta grind, I gotta grind. I'm just not sure I buy into that. And it comes from a lot of introspection of like, what is the reason I changed? Okay, it is that time freedom I was going for. Is it always there? No. There's times when you know, we get the meetup in the night, or we're traveling to conferences or whatever. But ultimately, I think for me personally, the answer is what is the why behind it? What are you actually doing with the capital you're trying to build, or like the money you're making? Then build your business around that. That's harder thing, easier said than done, right? But that's at least how I've been able to be like, I want to be wealthy in the sense that I want to be set up for retirement, but I don't necessarily want to stack $30 million. I just don't. I'd rather give it away. I'd rather travel. I'd rather spend time with my kids, right? And that's the honest truth. So I think evaluating what's the why, which again is hard to do. What are your thoughts, Ben?
Yeah,
Yeah, I
no,
love
I think
that.
it's the
Ben,
same.
before you go, one thing I just want to, I love that you said that. And if you don't mind, after Ben goes, if you don't mind sharing, getting into some of those whys, just to
For sure.
give folks permission to dig deep. But I find it fascinating because I've had a lot of those conversations. And typically when you ask somebody why 30 million, like they've never thought beyond that. And I had a conversation on the plane with a guy and I said, you know, I'm very open with how much money we make every month. Like, you know, a lot of it's public knowledge because we're in the military, and then other it, I just say, hey, this is kind of worth cash flow. I just don't care. And someone was like, oh, I thought you made more. And I was like, well, you do me a favor and put a price tag on the fact that me and my best friend go snowboarding. We have every Thursday is already booked for the entire year out for either fly fishing, snowboarding, a lunch, a coffee, or mountain biking. Like every Thursday from here into perpetuity is already booked out. And most likely when the rivers are running every morning on every Friday morning, I'm going to go fly fishing for 2 to 3 hours. And I also do these things like how, what is that worth? Right. And so there's like a deeper, there's a deeper calculus. And I'm like, dude, I don't, I can't, I've not been offered a job that can pay enough to stop that. So like, I don't know. Is that a $10 million a year job? I don't know. There's literally not a job. Well, I've not been offered a $10 million. I can't say that,
I don't know, man. I
but
honestly
it's
think
just
I might
important.
say no, though. I'm with you. I'm
Yeah.
with you. There's no.
I do. I honestly, I have played this mental game of like, what if someone said for 8 hours a week, I will literally give you 5 million a year. And I can honestly say, because to your point, I've thought about it and what success looks like, and I built my calendar. I would say no, like it wouldn't even tempt me. I'd be like, no, I'm good. I'm
I'd
good.
be
Can I
like,
have
how
June off
long?
to go to Italy with my family? Can I have all of June off? Nope. 80 hours a week. Okay, cool. Like easy answer. No, I'm good.
I'd probably be like,
Anytime.
how about 6 months for $2.5 million, then I quit.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Short-term
Sorry.
push. I can say with all honesty, because the transition out when I came off of, like exactly what you said, Stu. It's like, quit your job, but burn the boats, like real estate forever. Like it doesn't, it's a long game, right? Like, yeah, there's some people that might be able to do that, but it's all transaction based, and like you have to keep doing deals to put the coffer. It's not this like, it takes a bunch of time to build it up. So when I transitioned out, a good buddy of mine was in real estate, but also owned this company in town. And he asked me to come help run the company. And not being disparaging to anybody, but just it didn't fit. Like it was, I spent my own time and my entire career building time around how I worked. And then suddenly I was beholden to somebody else's time and going in and being there. And like, it was just antithetical to who, to how I operated the entire time. And I realized I was almost losing more. Like I felt like I was losing more because I couldn't do that. And so I just know how I operate, right? And the why thing is that Eric has always been really a lot clear with his why. It's taken me some time, if I'm completely honest. Because like again, I was built around when Jen and I started dating, like I was gone all the time. Like we would pair our travel to where we'd be gone at the same time and home at the same time. And then we started having kids and we'd have to figure out how one of us would stay home with the kids and the other, but still I was producing. Like she's a saint. Like truthfully, on both of our kids, I was gone within 5 days of our kids being born and was on site for an event. Like one of them was Maine. I was across the country. The other one was in Dallas. Like we went through literally a hurricane to produce this event. But it was always that switch because she's always had my back. Like I took it for granted, truthfully. You know what I mean? Like the understanding of like it took me a minute to be like, it's on me. Like my kids are growing up without me. Like that why took a while for me to actually like really, really get, to be completely honest with you. And truly, like I think that there's some of those, and it's really easy for parents to say, oh, I do it for my kids. Like, but do you feel it? Like, truly, is that your why? Like, I mean, and that's the truth. Like, I had a conversation with somebody this weekend. He's like, people keep telling me because I should like feel like I should do this for my kids. And ultimately, he's like, it's actually for my parents. My parents have nothing. Like, I'll be able to support them and take care of them and those things. He's like, I don't know why, but that's just my thing. So that'd be my tidbit is like, your why doesn't have to be what everybody else's why is. It could be you want to go fly fishing. It could be that you like just want to build vacations. You could be whatever it is, but getting super honest with yourself and even like being able to have somebody you can talk that out with, like Eric's that person for me, just to get weird for a little bit. Like, it's okay to like, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable saying that. You know what I mean? Like, that's been a big learning for me for sure, especially like building communities where people start asking us questions about that. That's been a big challenge to just like get people to open up, you know?
But dude, I think a lot of people hesitate on their why because they feel like it has to be a final product first try, right? Like a why is iterative. I mean, I anticipate now because we've done it so often. I anticipate my why within the next year is going to change completely as my daughter becomes a teenager and everything changes. But with my boys, like I fully expect that my why. But the magic is in the effort, and the magic is in the awareness, and the magic is in the desire to like, no kidding. Okay, what is my why? What is my why? Because if my why doesn't change, like when my kids leave the house, that's kind of weird, in my opinion. If it doesn't drastically change, in my opinion, it's just kind of weird to not reassess in a very, very significant way. So I think it's beautiful, man. I love that you give permission. I love you give people permission that, hey, dude, like your why. It doesn't always have to be this amazing, beautiful thing. And also, you should test it, right? You may have a beautiful why on a podcast. You put it on the wall, looks real pretty. You walk into the office, you guys have the wood paneling, you hang it up, it's gorgeous, and everybody loves it in the background. And you may not even live it, right? You may not even live it. So it's iterative. I love that.
No, that's real. Like the paneling, weird closet with skins hanging off the
Oh,
back. Like, that's
skins are hanging on there. See, there's your why. Feel skinny anytime you want, dude. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think, and I love what Ben said, is like sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you're just like, I don't know. I don't know what my why is. I just know I don't like what I'm doing, or I know that what I'm doing now isn't serving. Like, so that's what's so beautiful about Ben's story is that he's just like, I loved what I was doing. I just realized I probably couldn't do it at that pace and still be a really solid dad, or at least be available. And like, that's huge. You know, give Ben a ton of credit for that recognition to like step back from something that's super fun. I mean, I did it for a couple of years too, and it's so fun. All the people are in it together. It's hard work. The event is like, honestly, as you're working it, not even a big part of what goes on, right? Like, as a spectator, that's the thing. But as a producer, it's not. Like, all the stuff, all the questions, all the puzzles. Like, Ben's like a master problem solver. Like, he's a puzzle guy. But for him to say, you know, I don't really know the why other than I need to be home more. You know, and I need to be there. Like, that's huge. So just give some credit there too. And then Dave, you asked me to share mine. I mean, I think for me, honestly, it's like travel. Like, that's Marina, my wife and I, just people say they love travel. We really do. Like, we spent, I think we counted up over 120 days away from our house last year. And that could be camping. I mean, it doesn't have to be expensive, right? Like, it could just be like we camp a lot. Like, we went to Mexico for a month last summer. We just, that kind of thing, we just really, really enjoy. There's no way in the world I could have a true W-2 and have that. I don't think, you know, or maybe if you work remote, but then I'd be working all the time. So that's our why, is just like spend time doing stuff that is different and new and show our kids different stuff, you know, and be with them in that environment. So that's kind of my like driver. That's why when you said, would I work a job for a year for $10 million? I'm like, I don't know if I would. Like, I would have to give up a year of that. I probably would for 1 year. But like, I mean, honestly, like, I don't know if I would. So that's kind of the why that really drives me, is like, and I love your points too. Like, I really get tired of the guru talk of like, quit your job, real estate investing. Yeah, it's like, that's not really true. Like, cash flow is super low, especially as an operator. And I try and tell that story very often. Like, I'll share a spreadsheet of, here is the money we've made on a certain deal. And I'm free to show that on a lot of like these educational calls we do. I'm like, look at what we made last year. Zero. Because there's a preferred return and we haven't paid 7% to our investors, we got nothing. You know, that's the deal we made. So a lot of times you put in a lot of effort. Now, to be fair, when the property sells, we'll make some money. But that's not feeding the family right now. So like, to tell the story of how the cash flow actually works is really important. And you're right, it's a lie, man. That's not how it works in reality. It's a wealth builder. It's a get rich slow game. That's what I tell people. But it's not like a quit your job tomorrow, become a real estate investor, and everything's breezy. That's just not reality.
Well, I think it comes with, you were talking about like doors and things like that too. I think there's a this fallacy of like, oh, we've got 1,000 doors, we've got 2,000 doors, we've got three. Like that comes, and there's a lot of people in trouble, and we don't need to get into that, but there's a lot of people in trouble right now because of that mindset, right? Like just and people who are quitting a W-2, like you can survive in the short term on acquisition fees, right? Like you make a little bit of money when you put it under contract and actually get across the line, but then you have to manage it. So like just having a bunch of doors and having to chase that acquisition can become really dangerous really fast. And it's not even in real estate, right? Like just chasing in general, as opposed to like what, why are we here is dangerous.
Yeah, dude. There's been two things that I've really gotten annoyed with in just the real estate investing space. And one is, there are certain conferences that I would go to over and over every single year, and every single speaker that would get up on stage, the way they introduced themselves was, I have X million dollars AUM, assets under management. And like, it was every time, every speaker, I have X million, I have this, I have that, I have that. And like, who cares? Like, if they're all zero cash flow, like, who cares how much money you have under management, right? And then the other one was, you know, we've been in real estate masterminds too, and some of them are great and some of them not so great, but most of them have this like idea that I'm doing it for the family, I'm doing it for the family, right? But then they're away from the family all the time, right? They're gone at conferences, they're gone at speaking events, they're up at 4 a.m. you know, on the phone, capital raising, and they're never around their family. And like, if you're doing it for the family, but you're never around the family, those don't two match up very well. Right. And so like that really got to me. And I found myself in it. Like I found myself comparing myself to others. I found myself saying the exact same thing. And it, you know, finally I had just, Dave and I both had these like aha wake up moments. Like, what's this all for? You know, what are we doing this for? So
I think there's times where you have to push like that. I think it's, we've all been there too. Right. Like, and not to say that we get to work from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every single day. And like, suddenly it's just flowing to us. Like there are days when are long and there's days that push and things that go sideways. Like I was getting text messages at 11 o'clock last night from a handyman, like striping a parking lot at one of our facilities. Like there's, they, it exists. And I want to be really clear about that. Right. Yeah. Like it doesn't exist without the work. And it doesn't exist without getting burnt out sometimes. And it's sucking and like at being at odds with your partners or like, dude, you didn't show up. You haven't shown up for a month. Like what's up? You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of those types of things, but I think to your point is, and again, I'm not trying to be preachy. Like this is just something we feel when we talk about it. Is that like, what is it that, what are the most significant steps you can take that are going to move the ball forward? Right. Like that's something Eric talks about a lot in his coaching program is like, it's not about just action. So the first step is taking action. But like what actions are you taking that are actually moving the ball forward? Like you can call 1,000 brokers, but never an intention to underwrite a single deal. Like you can do that all day long. Right. But what actions are you taking that are actually going to move this, the next step, and taking the fewest number of big steps? It's scary. It's, it's terrifying. But what are the fewest steps you can take to like make that bigger? And I think that's something that Eric does super well.
Yeah, that's great, man. Hey, I wanted to touch on something else that you guys are really, trying to focus on. And that's just community. You know, David and I had a similar hope and goal of creating community in real estate. We did it a little bit, but I think we've created more community in the Kinetic Man, which isn't as focused as real estate. But you guys are doing a really good job of creating community through what you guys are doing with your events. Can you talk about that and touch on the purpose and the why behind that?
Yeah. We've been super fortunate to put some people around us that we want to work with on a regular basis, right? So like I said, I come from producing events, but we had some of our mentors actually come to us originally and say, hey, we're thinking about producing an event. Would you be down to help us do that? So we dipped our toes in and we produced it with that, and it's still going and we still love that event. But I think Eric and I looked at each other as well and said, hey, we want something that's ours, that feels like us, that we create. My big thing, like I just got back from a convention, and to your point, I love those, some of those conventions. Like you go and, you know, there's great keynote speakers and people get fired up, but my favorite times are like in between, right? Or like you leave, there's like a panel discussion you're not like super into, you walk out and you're hanging out in the hall, or you're like, go grab a coffee. You're like, go grab a beer in the afternoon with somebody. And those 3 to 4 to 7 people sitting around you, like chatting, I think the deals get done in the white space. I think the learning and the motivation and the push gets done in the white space, because you're looking somebody eye to eye. Like it's a real connection. You're not just like in a crowd in the dark staring at a stage. So we decided that that's something we really, really want to lean into. So we created an event called Scale. We run it in Denver. It's in October. And I'm sure we can link to the website in the show notes, but we limit it to right about 70 people on purpose. So no rows of chairs, like it's at round tables, and we purposely like make you uncomfortable. Like, so if you and David and Stu come together, we purposely move you to different tables to start. And really by the day, time you're into like day two, day three, like you've met all these new people and all these new friends, 'cause they're all in it together. Right. And we do it in a such a way, like we break up little groups and you have to go and talk about if your thing's asset management or you like want to learn underwriting. So we build this around building people up at every level. You know, we have some people who are brand new. We have some people that have been doing the business for a very, very long time. And how do we support all those folks? But more it's about like, how can we support each other in such a way that we're all going to grow? And I think the first step for us is realizing like there's more than enough here for everybody. Like people who have this like elbows out, like I'm doing deals, you can't talk to that guy, he's my, like, man, there's more money than anybody can ever actually raise, and there's more deals and there's more places for people to succeed than exist, like than the ability for us to put in, I should say. So that's where we come from. It's like we want to build up other people and we want to help as much, because like we're going to ask for help, right? At some point, like we're definitely going to ask for an arm up too. So how can we build this camaraderie around what we're trying to do and build a bigger community?
Yeah, I mean, Ben kind of like puts the event stuff, because for him it's so easy, right? Like, but he puts on an amazing event where it's like, first of all, it's beautiful and it's well done and well crafted. You show up, it's like everything's dialed. So it's like you show up and it's comfortable. But then you're in this position where all of a sudden we're like, you know what? We're going to make you super uncomfortable now. And like, we're going to force you to talk and nobody leaves the room. So like, that's the difference is like when I go to, let's just say a best ever, right? There's 1500 people there. To Ben's point, I don't spend any time in the room. It's not that I don't think the speakers are good. It's the same as used to, is like, okay, I have 2000 units and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's solid information, especially when you're new. But I leave the room and I go out in the hall and I start talking to people. And that's like our favorite thing. So we're like, how do we create an event that is the hall? So we like people don't leave the room because we have these activities and things that you're doing at your table. And yeah, it's really meant to build like camaraderie and education, right? We do have some solid speakers, but a lot of it's like interactive. So it's pretty solid. So yeah, if you're interested, check it out. We'd appreciate it if you guys would link that for sure.
Yeah, we will. What are the dates?
This year's the 10th through the 12th of October, 2024, in Denver, Colorado.
Awesome, dude. Awesome. Yeah, it seems like we have events that that are simultaneous, so we miss each other's things. But I love it, and I think, what you just said, an event to create the hall experience, right? I love that. Really, what I hear with the events that you guys are creating and that you run, and really everything you do, if you check out their website, you listen to, to Ben's videos on LinkedIn, a lot of it is very much geared towards community, and it's extremely intentional. It's extremely intentional. Like, going into this event, to scale in particular, that the intent of the founders and the producers of the event is to make you uncomfortable. Like, that's awesome. I love that. It's a great it, the intentionality behind that, but it's not just to be uncomfortable, right? It's because you were trying to build a deeper level of connection, because you guys realize in spades that with trust comes speed, and with that speed comes locking down deals, investing, doing amazing things, and also, like, you're hanging out with people that you actually like, right? And you know that because you've gotten uncomfortable, you've gotten a little, 20-second hugs is what we like to do. And you've done that, and then now it's time to do a deal, and you're coming from a different place, right? The transactional part of it, you actually have each other's backs. Everybody wants the best for the deal because you want the best for each other. And so I just love this community you guys are building.
I think it's also the thing that I love the most is that we also tell the people we come bring to speak, the people that show up. A lot of it is like the guru from the stage mentality is, look at me, look how awesome I am, look at what I've done, here's how you can do what I've done, right? Like, or here's why you should do this thing to get where I am. And I think what we're trying to do, and no disrespect, like there's a lot of people who have done some very big things, but what I really love is, like, here's where I fell down. Like, here's what's uncomfortable for me still. Like, here's what sucks if you're in this thing. Like, the ability to have a real conversation with somebody about, like, the reality of the space. Like, it can be best Tuesday ever all day long on social media. But, like, if you get together and you come to the scaling, like, what we try to do is that uncomfortability piece. Like, the best part is on the other side of that fear, whether it's like sitting at a table and talking to somebody, or like taking your first deal or signing a contract. Like, those things are scary. So we want you to be around and be like, dude, I know exactly how that feels. It's not like, oh, I'm so awesome. It's like, dude, that's scary. Like, I signed a contract yesterday and it, like, gave me some tingles, Like, we want you to understand that you're not alone in it. And by no means is this an individualized response that you're having. Like, sometimes things suck, sometimes things are super hard. We got your back.
Yeah, no doubt.
Go ahead, Ben. Or Eric, go ahead. You
No, I was
said
gonna say the same thing. It's just like being uncomfortable, right? Like being okay with being honest too. Like being okay with like, I'm on stage. Here's the thing I'm struggling with. Like that's what's nice about a podcast like this. You guys are incredibly honest. When we had you on, you're not like faking it for the podcast. We got the real you as far as I can tell. Like sometimes this business is super hard. Sometimes it sucks. Sometimes like, sometimes some properties don't perform as well as you thought. You have to look an investor in the eye and say, here's what happened. Those things happen and that's reality. So like to tell that story and be like, look, I love real estate. I can just say it. I really do. But there's days that are brutal. Like it's not the best amazing thing ever. It's still a job, right? And it's still gonna be challenging and all that stuff. And we can say that. And I think that, if I'm listening, if I'm in the chair, I'm like, that's the dude I want to talk to. Because that's the person being real, that's the speakers we invite as well. So like, I'm not trying to necessarily say like, oh, we're the best because we're super honest. I'm just saying that's our style, and I think people who resonate with that will probably really like that event.
And it's also the who's around, right? Like Dave, you have a bad day, you call Stu. I have a bad day, I call Eric. Eric and I have had bad days. Like we just put out something, like we did a podcast together. It was like we both were like in a tough spot together for like a month. And we literally just got on a podcast. It's like, this sucks. Like, how are we going to get out of this? How did we get out of this? So if the point is building the community is not just people that are going to like be there when it's good or like, rah, rah, we're doing this, like people that are also there when it's hard and it sucks and like you've been up all night and your kid's throwing up and like you have to go like to a meetup and be like helping other people. Like there's a lot of those types of things in those days where it just, put somebody in your corner, find people, and we're trying to help people find people to put in their corner.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. Hey, we're getting to the end of our time here, but what's the future of Wild Capital look like and scale? What's the goal of this all? What are you guys focused on?
Assets under management's the goal. The bigger number we
Perfect.
can
30 million AUM. I love it.
just infinite doors if we can.
Infinite. More. The
Yeah.
goal is
It's so much
more.
great ROI on infinite ROI or infinite doors. That's, I like the goal. It's
Yeah,
a
right.
strong why.
No, I mean, I think that's an awesome question. I mean, obviously growth. So like we do want to continue to grow. I mean, one thing I will say about our team is that we've walked away from probably as many deals as anyone I know, like deals under contract even. Like we had, this hit so close to home actually. We had a deal in Rifle under contract, and Ben and I went up there, and the photos were amazing. I mean, they're always amazing, but these photos were extra amazing. And we showed up and we're like, wait a second. We don't even own this whole thing. There's a whole like building that's part of this that you're not selling. And like it was just it's trickled into like, oh, there's 10 other things that you didn't quite tell us. And we're like, all right, here's the hard decision. We're gonna lose money. We're gonna lose some earnest money. We have some attorney fees, we've got some inspections. It's gonna cost us a significant portion of money to walk away, but it's the right thing to do. And all of us were like, done. Like, that sucks to go home and tell your wife, yeah, I lost a pretty good amount of money. Oh, by the way, I went to Rifle to do it. Sorry, you know, but at least we're like transparent. So long answer to the question is really solid growth. The real estate market's challenging right now. So it's gonna be slow, steady, you know, really smart growth. That's the way that I see it. We don't care about doors, we don't care about assets under management. We care about really good returns for our investors. And if that takes a while to get those deals, so be it. We're all kind of aligned there. So that's kind of what the future looks like for us.
Yeah. I'd say building out like how can we do this more? How can we tell people this story more? So we've got a couple other things like, we'll share it as they get built out, but yeah, we want to grow more places, more times, more experiences for people that come to our atmosphere and want to support that as much as we can. So it is that investment piece, but also like how are we supporting people to get into this as well? Eric does a huge job. Like Eric's a coach, so like the part of this too is, I mean, he's being a little bit humble in the sense that we want to educate people as well as support them, right? So if there's something that you guys are curious about, there's listeners that are like, "What is syndication?" Or "Hey, I've talked to this," or "I've listened to this guru." We're an open book. Like we want to help you out, and if you have the desire to learn even more, like Eric is an excellent coach. He won't toot his own horn, but I'll toot it for him.
Speaking of
Yeah,
fart
man, I love
jokes.
that. Yeah, right.
I appreciate the
love it,
kind words,
dude. I
Ben.
love it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we want to get the word out because, like, people who are working hard, like a good friend of mine's a dentist and he makes $1 million a year. He's like, I don't know where to put this money, man. I came from Bayfield. Like, we came from a small town. And he's making money. He doesn't even know how to spend, doesn't know how to invest. I'm like, look, man, I will happily help you with that. A small portion. I don't want you to send me all your money. A small portion we could put it in real estate, and I think we'll do a good job for you. That's like one example of like he didn't know about this until he saw some of our posts, right? He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, you can invest passively. He's like, that's freaking perfect. The last thing I need is another job. I can put some of my hard-earned money in a place that will likely grow. That's amazing. So that education piece is huge for us as well.
Yeah, and another resource I want to highlight is you guys' podcast, The Real Estate Mindset, as well. Awesome podcast. You guys have amazing guests on there, and it's just it's free knowledge, right? And I think that the you know this podcasting, these resources, the coaching, I would highly recommend reaching out to Eric and investing in yourself to get some of that knowledge. And it's not guru talk, right? It's real talk. It's not just the idea that you're gonna make some money. Even the way you caveated with your millionaire friend, it's there's no guarantee, right? And anybody who says differently is just trying to separate you from your money. Which just coming fresh back from Vegas, I watched it at a scale I just can't even describe on the effort to separate you from your money. Well, that exists everywhere. That exists everywhere. So I appreciate you guys, man. You know, I appreciate not only the men that you guys are incredible men, first and foremost. You know, we share the foundation of faith, and so there's a connection there. And then just you guys are real, man. Like I and a lot of fun. Like I love hanging out with Ben. I love the conversations are profound. If you get with the right people, you can have a ton of fun. You can constantly learn. You can constantly be edified, have amazing conversations and laughter, but you can also just dive deep very quickly, right? There's no like, you know, you don't have to dance around it. You get to it and you be real, and that's where the magic happens. So I encourage everybody to make connections like this. And if you have a podcast, have these guys on. And have us on. We're pretty awesome as well. Stu bring, you know, just have him turn the camera off and your show will definitely gain a lot of listeners
He's
and
just good on
likes. But
audio. He has a radio
yeah,
face.
he's great on audio. He's got a
Yeah.
radio face. He's got a
I
face
cry
of
too much, man. I
nah, man, I
just don't
love
say
it. I
anything
love it.
sad.
That's funny.
Hey,
It's
well,
great.
where do we send people to check you guys out, Ben and Eric?
Yeah, Wild Oak Capital is kind of the place for it all. So wildoakcapital.com has our podcast on there as well. And then you can hear about sign up, get to know us a little bit before you can invest. We have to have a relationship with you, which is a huge piece to this as well. I mean, it's nice to know our investors. I don't know that we'll ever go away from the 506B because it's like, I really want to know our investors. I mean, maybe one day, right? But for now, just head that way. That'd be kind of the place to go. So appreciate that toss out.
Awesome,
Sweet.
man. We'll put that in the show notes for sure. Like Goody said, man, we love getting to know you guys. We love knowing you guys, and continue to love to hang out with you. We'll put everything in the show notes, guys and gals. Reach out to Ben and Eric. They are super cool dudes. And hey, let's all go take uncommon action to be better. Thanks, guys.
See ya. Thanks, dudes.
Thanks.
Hey, for those of you who've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that Dave and myself transitioned out of a 20-year career in the military, in the Navy. And there were some really big struggles in that. And I'd say that for anybody that's in a transition of changing an identity can have a really, really hard time finding a new identity and going through the struggles of figuring out what's next. We talk a lot about purpose, we talk a lot about tribe and community, and we talk a lot about mission. And those aspects of a transition are really hard to figure out. So you need a community. You need a tribe. You need to have someone in your life that's going to hold you accountable and help you grow into this new identity. That's what we do in the Kinetic Man. We have a lot of military veterans in our space that we talk through on a daily and monthly basis of how to figure out what's next, how to figure out how to continue to live with purpose, live with mission, and be incredible husbands, incredible fathers, incredible leaders in the community, and incredible businessmen. We have a ton of entrepreneurs. We have guys doing deals together, investing with each other, and growing with each other to be the best men that they can possibly be so they can show up every single day for their families and for their businesses. If that's something that sounds interesting, come join us. You can go to thekineticman.com/signup. TheKineticMan.com/signup and come grow with us. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Kinetic Man podcast. If you are growth-minded, community-focused, and willing to take uncommon action to redefine success and live an abundant life, visit our website at www.thekineticman.com to see all the ways we could connect.
Yeah, and on our website, you can find more information on everything we're doing, like joining our meetup page to get the details on our webinars and our local Thursday gatherings here in Colorado. From our site, you can also find more information on and sign up for the next Kinetic Man retreat and the next house of our mastermind group. Finally, we always appreciate your love and support. Please share this episode and go rate us on your favorite podcast player of choice.
Thank you again. Now go take uncommon action.